I'm going to share with you today some what I would call very illustrative data, illustrative results. I think that will bring some new perspective, some additional viewpoint to some of these issues that we've heard quite a bit about yesterday, certainly in the Quality Measurements Conference, and so far this morning. In the 2006-07 crop year, not the current one, but the last one, fiber and spinning tests were done on three varieties in four locations around the southern plains of Texas. The growing conditions, not this year, but last year, gave us some rather unusual results. The growing conditions that we had in these various locations resulted in a very wide range of micronair values for the same varieties, the known varieties. These were in variety trials. So this provided an opportunity to demonstrate the impact of fiber maturity on other fiber properties and on spinning performance. The area out of the plains is encompassed in what I've outlined here in the dark lines. It was out of this part. This is a very fairly large area in itself, and with a wide variety of in this year climate conditions, soil conditions, and so forth. Now I want to emphasize the irrigation situation. Because we had a situation of very significant water stress during the previous crop year. And so the irrigation, I think, is a strong interaction here. In the first location, we had low elevation spread irrigation as we did in the second location. And both of these locations were areas of fairly abundant water. So the plants were loaded up, and as you'll see, didn't get adequately matured, at least in terms of its micronair value. Location three was less abundant water, but was done on a subsurface drip irrigation system, as you all are aware, I think, enables a much more precision, measured application of water to the cotton plants at the critical growing times. And location four was a limited LEPA, inadequate water, a marginal supplemental irrigation situation. LEPA stands for low energy precision application. It's often used in less than adequate water situations. It is in this case, and this location four resulted in some serious drought stress. The yields were probably about one third of normal, just to give you an indication of the of how much the yields were constrained by the limited water. Okay, so as I said, there was significant drought stress. We had adequate irrigations in locations one and two, enabled normal yields. The drip irrigation at location three was also adequate to overcome some of the worst effects of the drought. The yields were probably on the order of 85% of normal in this location. The irrigation in location four was inadequate to compensate for the drought effects. In location one and two, there were inadequate heat units during the growing season to mature the large quantity of cotton enabled by the abundant irrigation. In location three, heat units were also inadequate, but apparently the combination of less irrigation water and the drip irrigation system resulted in somewhat better maturity. In location four, the combination of more heat units and water stress greatly reduced yields and caused the fibers to have unusually high micronair values. So we had leveraged situation here. I'll make that clear in just a moment. So we had three varieties that were grown in all four of these locations. With the varieties known, the micronair values reveal the relative maturities, since we know the varieties. The micronair value is a very reliable indicator of relative maturity. So we had a wide range of maturity that was provided by these trials. First, the HVI and APHIS test results. Using this chart, I'm using a bar chart at one time here. I want it to be very clear. I want to illustrate how repetitive, how consistent these results were across the varieties and the locations. For each variety, you can see the drastic changes in micronair values. Location one, we have disastrously low micronair values. And location four, we have micronair values that are in a sense damagingly high. These are too high, as we have learned over the years. High micronair is a result, a predictable result of drought stressed cotton, and you can see the stepwise behavior across each of these. The emphasis is not on what the variety is here. The emphasis is on this is consistent for the varieties, whatever they are. We're ranging in these from about a 2.5 micronair to, you know, a 4.5 to 5. Well, not a 4.5, probably a 4.9 to 5. Now, here's a line chart of the same thing, same data, and I'm going to use mostly line charts. This certainly makes clear, from another viewpoint, the drastic difference among these locations for the same varieties. And given these three varieties, we can make a ballpark estimate of what an optimum micronair value would be. It would be somewhat different across these varieties, but all of them, we think, would fall in basically this desired range. So if you're talking about micronair values, what we've talked about yesterday, what we've talked about today, we should all leave this conference with a very strong concept of what a mixed blessing the micronair measurement has been. Because it's not an inaccurate determination of anything, really. It's the first instrument measurement that was ever commercialized for cotton. It originated back in the 60s, and it has become part of the lexicon of the cotton industry, and yet nobody really understands what it is. When you're talking about a desired range, remember that the micronair value is an average measure. It's an airflow indicator of an average. It doesn't tell you what the low mic is at the top of the crop. It doesn't tell you what the high mic is at the bottom of the stalk. All I'm trying to relate here is that for these varieties from the classing office, this is about the range we would like to see in order to have them fully matured in a ballpark sense. Okay? Now, the APHIS maturity ratio reveals the same pattern. I wanted to share this with you. Showing the all of the cottons at location four to be highly mature, and with a stepping down, there's less differentiation, you'll notice, with the between location three and the others than there was with the Micronair. Now I'm going to give you just the charts here on the fiber length distribution from the APHIS by number. This is our preferred approach to looking at these things. And you can see this is the blue line here, location four, gives us sort of a classic desirable distribution curve. With a fairly pronounced tip, peak here, and a fairly low trough here back at the short fiber content arena, and as we, it's very graphic here in this one and the subsequent charts, how well this correlates, how well it corresponds to the Micronair values, which in this case are giving us relative maturity because we're talking about the same variety. And this is for variety A, and you can see that in our location one where we had this disastrously low Micronair, we have a disastrous looking distribution function where the peak of the curve is actually in the short fiber component. And as the Micronair and as the maturity improves, so the shape of the distribution takes on a better character as we go through. So, you know, we would expect the performance of this distribution here to be terrible. It'll still be terrible here. We'll see it. We expect to see improvements here. As you learn to interpret these things, you know, you need to realize that even the difference between the black and the red here in this arena is a significant factor in terms of the improvement of the distribution of that APHIS curve. Here's for variety B. I won't comment much on these next two. The same behavior, the same tendencies are very graphic here as it was in the other one. And here's for variety C. And as you can see, the impacts of maturity on length distribution here are just remarkably large. The upper half mean length, this is interesting in the sense that, as you can see, the blue line here showing the over mature cotton fiber doesn't have a long staple compared to the others because of the drought stress. It also limited its staple length, and it's interesting to note that in general the best looking staple length occurred with the drip irrigation, apparently where the more precise application of the water was beneficial in forming the staple length. The APHIS upper quartile length is very similar, although it's interesting to note that the location four with our mature fiber looks better here. You have to hypothesize this is because the APHIS instrument, as we've noted, puts it through an opener that tends to break fibers. It's not breaking this mature fiber very much, and it improves its relative position in the standings. The APHIS mean length, I really like to use this reference point here. This one, as you can see, really starts separating. Even though the length of the location 4 was not terribly impressive with the upper quartile or the HVI length, it's clearly the clear winner when we look at the mean length. And this is off the APHIS again, so as we move down these curves, we're getting significant fiber breakage through the APHIS. The HVI uniformity index is corroborates this, spreads those out pretty good. The APHIS short fiber content by weight, here we want it low rather than high, and you can see here that we have basically world class short fiber content with this highly mature fiber. There's no cotton anywhere in the world that in a mix of fiber properties wouldn't like to have these percentages of short fiber content through the APHIS. HVI strength, I think this is very interesting. The over-mature fiber is a clear winner. This fiber, and this is bundle strength, and this gives us some food for thought about our thinking about bundle strength on measurements. When fibers are over mature, we have this close to a 5.0 micron error. The fibers tend to be rather turgid, rather stiff. You don't get as many fibers in the cross section. You don't get as many fibers in the HVI bundle, and it penalizes the bundle strength measurement, whether that bundle is an HVI bundle or whether it's a bundle in the yarn itself. But nevertheless, it's the clear winner on bundle strength, and ranking down rather significantly. These two varieties were really quite strong. This one didn't perform as well. This variety here is just not as strong a breaking strength. But the clear second place goes to the location 3 with the drip irrigation, with the other two locations at rather dismal strength levels for these varieties. The elongation. This should be expected. The in a sense, the loser here is your highly mature fiber. This is we know that if we have immature fiber, we increase the elongation. Now we don't want to increase the elongation that way, but it does do that. When you have these fibers that are stuffed, they're turgid, they're stiff. They're going to tend to be a bit more brittle, and that's showing the case here. The clear winner here in terms of overall performance is location 3 with the drip irrigation. APHIS NEPS. Here again, we're looking at world-class NEPS here in location 4 through the APHIS, this not being terrible, and this getting pretty bad, and this being absolutely amazingly high in location 1. Let's now go to yarn properties. Ring spinning tests, we did 40 carded and 40 combed yarn counts. First, we'll take the carded. This is yarn strength, yarn breaking strength. As we saw with the HVI bundle strength, the clear winner here is the highly mature cotton fiber. So as the we're working with same varieties. I think we might ought to stop letting people tell us that high maturity is not beneficial to yarn strength. Now, elongation is again corroborates the fiber measurements, with the elongation being worse for the location 4. CV, the locations 3 and 4 perform pretty closely here. Thin places, the clear winners here are locations 3 and 4. Thick places, likewise. NIPS, the location 3 performs pretty well compared to its raw fiber measurements. Still the clear winners, location 4. Hairiness, white specks, dye uptake, as we would expect, the dye uptake is dramatically better with the highly mature fibers. Okay, if we go to combed, we have a situation here where I must emphasize the noils. We removed an acceptable level of noils at the combing frame, at the combing machine, for the mature fibers. This is a marginal result based on what I'm hearing from the international spinning industry, and the other two results are unacceptable. Okay, I want to emphasize something here quickly. If you have cotton cost to mill, 65 cents a pound, you have a four-leaf grade, that's 7% waste, the effective cost is 69.9 cents to the mill, spinnable fiber. Okay, if you have 20% noils at the combing frame, you have 27% waste after you've done the cleaning, the carding, and the combing. The effective cost is 89 cents a pound. If you go to 24% noils, that results in a 31% waste, and the effective cost to that mill has become over 94 cents a pound. So a very important fact that everyone needs to keep in mind. It relates to your question in the previous talk. Now, tenacity, let me just summarize. With combing, we remove all of these short fibers, a very large amount of them, but we remove them, and the curves all come together. They just tend to come together. We've removed the short fiber content, and the advantage of the highly mature fiber in a lot of these measurements tends to disappear. The elongation still worse. Elongation always moves consistently. The CVs are consistent. Thin places were actually worse, and this is because of the thick fibers. We're not getting a smoothing in the cross sections. Thick places, no difference. The NIPS are still better in the highly mature. Hairiness, about the same. So the validity of this study is based on the fact that if we know the variety being measured, then relative microinair values are a reliable indicator of the maturity. This in turn reminds us that we must think clearly about fineness versus maturity. It's better to conceptualize the fine fibers as being those with small perimeters, which are mature at lower microinair values than fibers with larger perimeters. It follows that specific and stable cotton variety has a mature microinair value, and that value needs to be reached if it's going to perform well. Conversely, we know that the variety being measured and know its mature microinair value, unless we know this, we cannot accurately infer maturity from the microinair value. Under certain environmental conditions, values may increase to levels that are too high for optimal textile performance. Nevertheless, these results support the conclusions that cotton with too high microinair values generally perform better than cotton with too low microinair values. While immature fibers are capable of making a fairly strong bundle, each of the single fibers are weak and fragile. Therefore, these fibers break under mechanical stresses, resulting in bad length distribution. That is elevated short fiber content. And this is the fundamental cause of the poor performance in ring spinning. But for the same variety, the bundle strength for the high micronair fibers is greater than that for the low micronair. The increased numbers of fibers in the bundle does not completely compensate for the higher strength of the mature fibers. Combing alleviates most of these discrepancies, but the amount of noils at the combing stage is unacceptable for low micronairs. Thanks.
Thank you. We won't have time for questions.